Hello, and welcome to This Week at Charlestown Road, a branch of the Heaven Bound podcast. My name is Jason Harden. I'm here with Roger Schaus, and this is where we reflect on the weekend that was. We dig a little deeper into a recent sermon to give you something to think about as this week unfolds, but also preview what's to come this next weekend at Charlestown Road. Roger, can you believe it is the week of Thanksgiving?
It's here. It's here. And whether you're ready or not, here it comes. So this past Sunday, Jason had the honor of preaching, and he and I are doing a back-and-forth series here these several weeks in a row here. And these AM sermons carry over to our PM services, where we have what we call our chair series, where we have a discussion. And what we do is we just take that sermon, and in the back-and-forth conversational format, we just go a little deeper and look at some things that maybe we did not address in the sermon, but some very, very important parts. Our series is entitled God's Church, God's Work, God's Way. And that is essential for those who are interested in heaven and the Lord. The common thought on the street is to redefine the church to the needs of man. And so the definition of the church is always changing. The identity of the church is often changing. You know, people will wonder, is it a school? Is it a restaurant? Is it a church? What is it? And when we look at the Bible, it is God who thought up the church, is God who designed the church, is God who made the church, and so it needs to be governed by the Lord. And so we're interested in God's church, God's work, and God's way. And so this past Sunday, as we are marching through this series, looking at different layers of this, Jason talked about the mission of the church. And when we talk about the mission, we're talking about like a mission statement, or we're talking about the purpose of the church. And let's just kind of go back through that. You gave us four wonderful ideas that come straight from the Bible that helps us understand what the church is all about.
Sure. We leaned as heavily as we possibly could on Jesus, because this is his church. He is the founder. He is the head in the present tense of his church. And so we really started in the Gospel of Matthew 28 as the risen Christ speaks to his disciples and says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations." That was our first major point. What is our mission? Our mission is to make disciples of Jesus. And if we just keep reading, he tells us exactly how to do that. We make them from all nations. We baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we teach them to observe all that he has commanded. And he promised there in Matthew 28, verse 20, "Behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." We certainly get the sense that Jesus has the right to tell us what our mission is and to hold us accountable, right? He is with us. This is his. This is to the praise of his glory. And so our mission is to make disciples. We moved from there. We went from Matthew 28 to Acts chapter 2, where we listened in on how the earliest Christians devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship. And so we began exploring, okay, we've got this teaching. Now it is up to us to embody this teaching, to live this teaching as a Christ-formed family. So we talked a little bit about helping our needy brothers and sisters in Christ, the call to care for one another as fellow members of the body, even to hold each other accountable. We find in multiple places in the New Testament. Our mission is to worship the God of this eternal purpose in spirit and in truth, and our mission is to equip saints for the work of ministry. Really, those four things were where we camped: to make disciples, embody this teaching as a Christ-formed family, worship God, and equip the saints for the work of ministry.
So what's the good or what's the value of having a mission or a mission statement? You know, a lot of you in your lesson talked about several corporations and what their mission statements were. Why is that important?
Yeah, of course, the difference is we don't have a bunch of highly paid, highly educated people who got together and brainstormed. This is straight from the Lord, but we can see all around us the power of mission statements. We listen to JetBlue and PayPal and Tesla and Nike and others in the sermon. Just the short, punchy statements of mission, and I think the power of them is they simplify, right? We just because we can afford to do something doesn't necessarily mean we should. Just because somebody has a bright idea doesn't mean that this corporation, its energy would be best spent doing that. Mission statements simplify, they clarify. I think in many ways they hold the group accountable. They give us a standard that, okay, here's a bright idea over here, but it really doesn't line up with the mission of the founder or the mission of the CEO. And I would suggest as well, mission statements are easily transferable, right? From employee to employee or generation to generation. As you bring new people in, you can transfer that mission to others. Now, there's lots of differences there, right? The Lord's church is not a human corporation, but we do have a founder who has told us exactly what he wants us to do. He's told us exactly why to do it. And this mission has been established by someone who is infallible. We don't have to worry about Jesus letting us down, skeletons falling out of his closet, or anything like that that just destroy the mission of the group. And this mission does not evolve. You know, you can look at how in various corporations, the mission might evolve with technology, with advancements, with different ways of looking at the world. This is, we've leaned a couple of times on Ephesians 3 verse 11, the eternal purpose of a perfect God.
So what's life like if a corporation or a church or a school doesn't have a mission? They have no mission statement. Yeah. They just, here we are.
Easy to drift, right? And again, though we are not a corporation, we have all sorts of warnings in the Bible. We hear the writer of Hebrews saying, we must pay much closer attention than perhaps those who have come before us have done, those who had to learn lessons the hard way, lest we drift. Churches are not immune to drifting from the mission. Individual Christians, our homes, our marriages, our efforts as parents are not immune to drifting. We might start off well. We all know what it is to make New Year's resolutions. That season is coming quick, fast, and in a hurry again. And we know what it is to wake up on January 1st with all sorts of determination and zeal, and perhaps by February 1st, we've just drifted far from that. Human beings have a tendency to do that.
And so what we're finding with these four mission points or mission statements is the church is spiritually based.
Yes.
And the job is to honor God and get us to heaven. That's really what it comes down to. And when you have that mission before you, that statement before you, this is what we're about. Not only does it keep you focused and going the direction you're supposed to be going, but eliminates a lot of other things.
Yeah,
I've got a little bitty post office near where I live. I go there almost every day. And it would be so convenient if they had some gas pumps out front. It'd save me a lot of stops if they sold some food in there.
Breakfast sandwiches.
That'd be great. I would go for some donuts. You know, there's all kinds of things. But when I go there, they're going to mail me my letters. They're going to sell me a box. Or I'm going to box something up and send. And that's it. There's no gas pumps out front. There's no food inside. And the reason is because of what they are. And so when I go to the post office, I immediately know I'm not going to gain gas there because I know what they're about. And so the same concept needs to be when we come to the church. Now, in our community and in the world we live around today, so many churches have lost that center point. And that's where people have different expectations of what the church is. I think the church ought to babysit my kids. I think the church ought to provide some activities on a Friday night for my kids. I think they ought to groom my dog. They ought to do this. They ought to do that. And a lot of churches bow down to that. But what's happened is they've lost the focus, the center point of what they're about.
We applaud corporations, businesses, organizations who are laser focused on their mission, right? And we've all seen as perhaps the margins are stretched a little too far, the mission gets fuzzy. Those businesses lose their way, they go out of business, it is not good. For some reason, though, we have bought into, as a culture, the idea that, well, the church is different. And if any collection of human beings ought to be laser focused with confidence, it is Christians. We serve the risen King of the universe who has already defined it for us. We should not be ashamed of that.
So why do you think through the years some churches have lost that? I mean, why have they become all purpose or all people? They serve the whole of humanity. They take care of every aspect from fitness to health to food to everything. I think some of that comes back to the idea of who determines this mission.
Yeah.
And who defines this mission. And so how would you answer that when we look at the Bible?
I'm afraid the target has moved from passages like Colossians 3:17, whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. The target has moved from passages like that to, well, what do we think the community around us would want? We want the community to come to us. What hook are we going to use to get the community to come to us? And so, Roger, there have been multi-million dollar bestseller books built on the idea, this is how to build a church. You go out into the community with a simple survey, you knock on front doors, and you ask, we're here in your community, what would you like to see in a local church?
And that literally happened to us one time.
Really?
And I wish I was home. I wasn't home. My wife was home at that time. And the guy with his clipboard was just asking her, what would you like to have in the church?
Yeah.
And he had these categories. And she said, I would like to have a church that follows the Bible. Well, that wasn't on his list.
Yeah.
And so what we've seen through time is there's been a shift from a theocracy, and theocracy means God-centered, God is the leader, to a democracy, and that's what we have in our government today. And the democracy is the will of the people. And so we've moved God off of the center point, and we put ourselves in there, and when we do that, the mission changes. And so instead of saying, this is what God says, this is what God wants, this is what God authorizes, we now say, this is what I want. And then that mission becomes fuzzy and it's constantly changing because so are the whims of people.
We're building, but the question is, are we building the Lord's church? And of course, if we want to build the Lord's church, we need to listen to the Lord's definition, the Lord's calling. So Roger, let me, if you don't mind, I'll turn it towards you. Okay, the church has a purpose. Is it just us as a church that need a purpose, or does it even get smaller down into our homes, do you think, and even us as individuals?
I think it does, because when we say the purpose, we could also say expectations.
Yeah.
That's the same word. And so what does God expect of my family? What does God expect of me? Once again, when we move God out of the center, then I would replace it with myself. What do I want? Well, usually whatever makes me happy. And for some people, it's just staying home watching TV all day. That makes them happy. Some people, it's getting that boat. Some people, it's traveling. It's just you fill your heart with whatever you think is the center. If it's you, it just becomes seeking these different pleasures. But the Bible does say we have a purpose. Solomon, at the end of that great journal he writes called Ecclesiastes, says in chapter 12, verse 13, the whole duty or the duty of man is to fear God and keep his commandments. The apostle would say in Romans chapter 8, verse 29, for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his son. Peter would say in 1 Peter 1, verse 15 and 16, we are to be holy as he is holy. So does God have expectations of me? Yes, he does. Does God have a purpose for me? He does. And that is to follow him, to love him, and to walk in his ways. I think another great expression is found in Acts 13, where it talked about David and said he served the purpose of God in his generation. That's what God wants us to do, serve his purpose today.
One of the things I appreciate so much about our shepherds here at Charlestown Road is their approach to reminding us and consistently making this purpose idea really simple, really clear, like a good mission statement, and really personal. We hear all the time here in the context of our church family about our spiritual life plan, that we need to be fueled up by our habits, we need to grow through our connections, and we need to shine by our actions. That is our purpose as individual disciples of Christ.
It's kind of hard for the church to have a purpose if the individual doesn't. So you've got the church that's supposed to be laser focused on God and on heaven, but the people make up the church. And when the people don't have that purpose themselves, they're going to be floundering around, they're going to be lukewarm, they're in and out, they're all over the place. And so for the church to have a mission, it necessitates each of us realizing this is what God expects of me. We bring it down even more specifically. God expects men to be the head of the house. That doesn't mean you control the remote and you decide where to eat. That means you lead that family to heaven. And God wants us to shepherd our homes like shepherds do God's people. And so it's that idea of nurturing my children. It's the idea of being a spiritual leader. It's the idea of seeing after the things that need to be seen after. And that's some things that God expects of us. God expects a young person to walk in holiness with him. And we can't say, well, you know, I'm a teenager, so I get a pass. No, you don't get a pass. You can't say, well, I'll wait till I'm done with school and I'm married and I got kids and I'm going to settle down and be serious. No, God has expectations right now for all of us. And that helps us as we see this purpose and this mission of the Lord.
This has been such an important series. God's church, God's work, God's way. We've got all of those previous lessons, including, as you mentioned, our chair series on Sunday evenings, freely available at charlestownroad.org. We would love it if you would go back and dive into this, follow the flow of this to make sure that as you build, you're building life the way this perfect founder meant it to be. Now, Roger, you're going to take that a step further this Sunday, but even before we get there, this evening, we've got an exciting opportunity.
We do. It's Thanksgiving Eve, and we're going to bring all our classes in together, and we're going to have a special service about Thanksgiving, about thankfulness. We got a lot of songs we're going to be singing that bring some different attention to our mind. We got some verses we're going to read. I'm going to have some things we're going to say as we look at some different aspects of thankfulness. It's so easy to get a group of people together and say, okay, let's go around the table. What are you thankful for? And you hear the same things. I'm thankful for my health, for my family. I'm thankful I live in this country. Powerful things, all those. But sometimes that's as far as our thoughts go. And so we're going to look at some other things and some things that maybe we don't often consider. great worship service we believe we're going to have. So we want to welcome you to come and be with us.
7 o'clock p.m. this evening. We would love to have you, your family, people of all ages in our auditorium tonight. Roger, this coming Sunday, Lord willing, you're going to take our series on the church another step further.
We are. We're going to talk about how the church takes care of needy people. You can't hardly go into a store this time of year without seeing a red kettle and somebody ringing the bell right at you. And sometimes that gives you a little guilt complex. And we think about this time of year being more generous. And just what does God expect? There we go again. What's the mission when it comes to the church helping the needy? So we're going to go through some passages, look at that, and look at some things we need to remember as we think about that important aspect, keeping on the mission that God has us to do.
And Lord willing, that evening, 5 o'clock p.m., we'll dig just a little deeper and ask some practical questions, go back and forth. Okay, what does this look like in real life as individual disciples of Jesus, as a local church? Can we as a church do anything that individuals can do? Is there a difference between those? And what sort of New Testament pattern do we find when it comes to how we help those around us in need? Good, practical things that people of all generations need to understand. Roger, it's a busy week, but I appreciate you taking the time to join me today. Thanks to all of you for listening to This Week at Charlestown Road. We're looking forward to tonight. We would love to have you sing and pray with us this evening at 7 o'clock p.m. We're already looking forward to Sunday, the best day of the week, and we would love to have you come and grow with us.